This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal fans. Welcome to the Tuesday morning edition. Happy Labor Day to everybody, by the way. Of your favorite St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast, Two Birds on a Bat, brought to you by our good friend Randy Green with InnovativeCompanies.com. Don't forget his construction team, heating and cooling team, and electric team are ready on standby to take care of any needs you might need, whether they be residential, commercial, or industrial. That's our man, Randy Green, 35 years plus experience, second generation craftsman, and as we always say, more importantly, a man of his word. Once you meet the guy, I promise you, just like everybody else, you'll be like, I see what those guys were talking about. He's a real down-to-earth dude, and you can trust him. And in this day and age, that's important, folks. That's Randy Green, InnovativeCompanies.com. As always, coming to you from the patio studios, and happy to be talking about first place St. Louis Cardinals. There's going to be a lot of rocking going on down at patios, both pre- and post-game. Don't forget, that's the original party place for St. Louis Cardinal fans everywhere. So if you're going to meet pre- or post-game, make it patios. Well, exciting day, because not only on the m4byyachty.com hotline do I welcome in everybody's favorite, Benji Molina. What's going on?
What's going on, guys?
I get to welcome back Steve-O. What's up, Steve-O? I mean, I get a text this morning. I'm coming in.
You know what? I lost track of the days. This Labor Day has got me all
Did you think it
off.
Was Monday?
I had no idea what day it was.
Oh, geez, Louise.
I spent a weekend down in Branson. I was on roller coasters. My neck's all jacked up. I don't know what's going on.
And the Cardinals are in first place by three games.
Oh, for sure. Got to do that, babe.
For three games. Hey, so I'm watching the game. I see the hit in the right center field, and I see Yachty probably run the fastest he's ever run around third base, slide into home and jump up, and looks up at you and gives you the hands-up sign. Did he mouth something to you, or did he just look up at you like, yes?
No, he was just saying it to me, to our booth, let's put it that way, because he was to our booth, and he was doing it for the fans too, you know, like, get up, you know, this is getting exciting here in St. Louis.
Yep.
It's just giving them a little preview of what's coming, I guess, because, man, they're playing their butt off right now.
Yeah, it's been.
I don't want to hear about they should have won this game because who they are facing.
Yeah, I don't care either. I'm over that.
Care.
They all play the same teams, so I don't really care.
The same teams the same number of times.
Yes.
You can say none like, oh, they beat Colorado. That's sort of crap or whatever. They can say that. Believe me. If they lose to Colorado, you get criticized. They win, they should win. I mean, that's bull crap.
Well, you can. That's always the thing there, right? Like, you can never win for losing on that. If you win these games, you're supposed to win them. If you lose them, how can you lose these games? People are nuts. I'm at that juncture now where I don't even hold back anymore. People are crazy. They really
that's
are.
That's why I told you, you play one game at a time, and that's what they're doing. They don't care about yesterday. They don't care today. Sorry about the future, because they haven't played it. These group of guys, they're playing for today's game. They're trying to go out there, have fun today's game. They believe they can win. They went through a tough, really tough stretch, which everybody doubted them, including me, because the way they were playing and the way they were performing. But at some point, they were going to catch fire, man, and I knew it. They have to. They have good players, and they have good lineup. They have a good pitching. It might not be your top all-stars out there, but they can pitch. You know, they give you the good innings. They give you the no runs and stuff. So, I mean, at some point, they have to, right? I mean.
Well, make no mistake about it. Your brother is hot. I mean, right now, he is in fuego. Comes back from the injury and promptly is hitting, my guess is probably around 340, 350 since he got back from the injury. His on-base percentage is through the roof. He is seeing the ball really, really well. I'm sure the hand isn't 100% right, but it's got to feel better after taking that time off.
It has to be the hand. That's the only thing that was keeping him from doing what he's doing right now. I'm telling you, the only thing that he wasn't doing, it was because of the hand. So now he must be feeling really good on the hand, and he's just riding it out, man, which that's what we needed. We all said it, you know, in September or in August, somebody has to be traded to the Cardinals. Well, Yadi got traded. Ozuna came back from injury. That's another trade. I mean, we got people back and just, you know, that's what they're showing up on the lineup. We have a really exciting Colton Wong playing this ball. I mean, I haven't seen him play this good in forever. He's playing good ball. Tommy Edman is playing great. You know, all these guys are doing their job. They're clicking. You know, Dexter Fowler is having himself a beautiful year for him, right? I mean, for what he's capable of. DeJong is a little quiet, but he'll get going. So, you know, Bader is showing signs that he could do it. I mean, these guys are going at it, man. Like I said, they don't care about the numbers right now. They really don't. They care about winning games, and that's what it's about.
Yeah, you brought up some names in there, Colton Wong obviously being one of them. But, you know, I'm going to tell you, how about the performance over the weekend? I mean, listen, we could start with all of them, right? Like Colton Wong's been, let's face it, he's been amazing. Right, he really has. You can talk about the defense, which he has maintained, and now he's just a different hitter. Well, I will say this: if you know enough about baseball to be dangerous, his approach is completely different than it used to be.
Somebody talked to him. Somebody got in his head that made him who he is right now, and that's all I got to say. Because he wasn't doing that at all the years past and then early on. And all of a sudden, he starts hitting that hole, that Tony Gwynn hole, man, and they just finally falling in love with it. He knows
well,
that.
Well, the leg kick's gone. The leg kick's gone.
Well, here's the fear that we've had with Colton Wong, and we've had it now going on his entire career, is we want him to stay hot, but my fear is that he gets that big home run in that clutch situation. All of a sudden, he resorts back to, I'm a power hitter. He's had this potential the entire time he's been in the major leagues, and we've seen flashes of it. You know, I just look and I go, well, I don't want that, you know, the walk-off home run with the bat flip that all of a sudden he gets into the mode that I'm going to start yanking balls again.
I see what you're saying, and I'll say this. I'm not Colton Wong. I'm not in his head. I haven't had a conversation with him about this. For me, it's 100% more about his approach than what it is he in his mind wants to do. And I believe, like what Benji said, somebody has had a chat with him. And, you know, I know you have. I've talked to Benji before about how this thing works at the big league level. And sooner or later, somebody comes to you and says, hey, do you want to be the player that you can be, or do you want to keep trying to be something you're not? You know, so somebody sat him down and said, who are you? And I think we've all said on this show, even when we've been on Colton Wong's ass, we've always said, we need Colton Wong to be what we thought he was going to be. And that was a guy that hit for a good average, could run the bases, play great defense, could get down bunts for you, could steal bases, hit the ball the other way. This is what we've wanted from him all along, right? Well, maybe that's not what he wanted from himself, but somebody has finally said, hey, who are you? Okay, and this is how you can be who you are. Let's go into a contact mode swing here and do this. And the reality of it is somebody's going to get credit for it. But the truth of the matter is everybody's told him this for years. And maybe now he's just matured up, or maybe he got scared. I don't know. Maybe he saw it, you know, whatever. But something's happening in a positive light for Colton Wong.
Yeah, he had to be somebody just talking, man, and all of a sudden he hears. You know, he listens and he goes and is willing to try it. I mean, we can sit here and think what it was, and we will never know unless we ask him. But seriously, I mean, somebody got in his head and said, "Hey, listen," or you got a couple hits the other way, man. You know how it is. You're like, "Oh shoot," you know, "I can hit that way and get more hits," and all of a sudden your head is telling you, "Shoot, well, my average is going up if I get two hits to the left side." Okay, well, let's work on that. Let's keep working on it. You see what I'm saying? Like, your own mind tells you, wow, this is cool. You know, my average is going up. I can steal more bases. I can put pressure on defense. I could do this. I could do that. And maybe himself just figure it out. It might not be somebody, but in this case, I think somebody got in his head or at least talked to him about, hey, man, listen, if you hit the other way, nobody's over there on the other side. Most of the time, everybody's on the right side. Just if you see a fastball, just throw your bat at it. You know what? You know why I know, guys? Because I saw him throwing the bat at the ball. We never did see him do that. Ever. We never saw Colton Wong throwing the bat at the ball in the ball outside or low. We always saw him swinging over it and hard. And all of a sudden, he took a two-strike approach, tried to touch the ball, instead of killed it, and he got a fly ball to second. That's okay. I mean, it wasn't out. But I'm saying the approach on it. He took that approach and turned it up. And before you know it, let me tell you guys this. Before you know it, now let's move on to Edmund. Before you know it, when Edmund learns how to do what Colton Wong is doing right now, he will be a 320 hitter if they let him play, of course. He will be like a 320, 310 hitter. Because right now, if you see Edmund, he's hitting 281. And he's swinging out of his butt most of the time. Like 99%, he's swinging out of his butt. When he learns, and I hope it's quick, when he learns how to shorten up a little bit with two strikes and hit the ball the other way or whatever, you know, and put it on contact, man, next kid is going to be like 310, 320. You watch.
Well, and that was the thing. And, Steve, I don't remember if it was you I was having this conversation with, but – you know, I love to talk hitting. I just do. I love to watch it. I love to learn about it. I love to work with people on all that kind of stuff. But I thought it was you, Steve-O, but we were talking about this has been a process for Colton Wong. And if you noticed, he changed his approach with two strikes a little while back. And the leg kick, he would only leg kick if he was up in the count or had a hitter's count. When he got into defensive mode, he'd get rid of the leg kick. And I liked his swing. And we were just sitting around one night, and I'm like, look, you don't have to be a rocket scientist for somebody to sit the guy down and say, you need to go to this all the time because this is who you are. Now, the game's been littered with guys that don't want to hear this is who I am. They want to be sometimes something they're not. Sometimes that's how you get a lot of money, right? Hitting home runs, driving in runs, doing all this kind of stuff. But let me tell you something. If Colton Wong, with his game.
Colton Wong's got to make his money.
Yeah, if Colton Wong hits 280 – and has a 330, 340 on base percentage with his defense and his base running, he going to get paid? You know, is he going to get Mike Trout money? No. Is he going to get Bryce Harper? No. But he going to get plenty of money. And he's going to be an important player. Right now, he is exactly, I mean, listen, you can go back to shows as far as, I've been on his ass all the time. And I've always followed up with saying the reason I'm on his ass so much is I want him to be, And I'll fast forward now. I want him to be exactly what he is now, the number two hitter that we have needed for so long, okay? And that's who he is right now. And then you add in the defense, which we all know has been there, and this guy is a good player. So I'm happy for him. I gotta ask you, though. There's one other guy this weekend that I thought did his role. And I think he's found a little something, and I don't know. I mean, sometimes we wonder about him. But I want you guys to think about the important role in the last, 50-something hours that Carlos Martinez played for the St. Louis Cardinals. I want to remind everybody, check us out at twobirdsonabat.com. subscribe to the show there. You just simply click subscribe to the podcast, take you about 30 seconds. Check on our Two Birds bloggers and see what they have in store for you. They do tremendous writing. We appreciate having them all. And of course, I'm happy to say that, you know, there's so much more you can do on the site as far as listening to back episodes with our catalog. So some people like to do that, go back and listen to certain shows and sometimes say, see, these guys knew what they were talking about, or sometimes these guys are full of shit. So either way, you guys can do it however you want to do it. Happy to have you guys follow us on social media at Birds on a Bat Show on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook. That's always our big push. Type in Two Birds on a Bat, like our page. Make sure you click invite your friends. When you see the pinned post, that's a show. If you guys would click on it, make sure you like it, comment on it, and share it. That would help us tremendously. Find us on Instagram, Two Birds on a Bat Show as well. And of course, as part of lineupmediagroup.fm, home of your radio, the streaming platform for your mobile device, download it for free today. You guys will love it. Also, excited about the upcoming month with everything that's going to be happening. I'm sure we'll have our friend Dr. Christian Jacobs from drchristianjacobs.com and Ooh La La Spa and Anti-Aging and Wellness Center in for the Cubs series. Probably have to invite her down to patios. That'll be our final patio show of the year when the Cubbies are in town. But she wants to remind everybody every day is Skin Cancer Awareness Day, and she does tremendous work over there. Check her out for anything you may need or feel like you want to talk about for yourself, something to make you feel good. But again, I applaud her for all the stuff that she does for everyone in the field of skincare, especially when it comes to cancer awareness. Our friends at Gators Baseball Academy, thank you for your support and sending all the people our way listening on the show, all the kids out there that we hope to help and get to where they need to go and make somewhat of a difference. And great things happening over there, folks. Iron Impact, led by our friend Jake Worrell, the son of former Cardinal Todd Worrell. Happy to have him involved as well. They just had Mike Matheny speak over there on Friday night. It was a great experience. He does awesome stuff for people in the community still. And their four-pillar system is second to none. Located in Missouri and now in Illinois, if you want something different for your son, make sure you check out GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. To our friend Mike, thank you for last week. Unbelievable barbecue. Had a great time. Got to sit down there and just chat and soak in the atmosphere a little bit. That's Adam's Smokehouse, located on Watson Road. Open till 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. And, of course, the big box lunch orders are always available. And their catering service, folks, it's tremendous. I know some people that have used them for different events, and it's always a hit. And people, when they get that, and no offense to other things, but you know, you make the turn or you come in afterwards and you get yourself a burger and maybe a salad or something. But, man, when you show up and there's Adam Smokehouse there, it's going to really set off your event, especially if it's something you want to continue to happen. People will be looking forward to coming back every year and getting some Adam Smokehouse. That's our friend Mike, located on Watson Road, St. Louis. Here's your cue. All right, gentlemen, a lot of great things happening for the Cardinals right now. But I think people, even though his results have been okay, I think Carlos had a little Izzy thing going on where he'd make your heart stop a little bit, right? But let me tell you something. That pitch he's throwing right now is devastating hitters. I mean, he's really went to that off-speed pitch and then the slider. I mean, he made a couple of really good hitters look really bad yesterday. We've talked about he and Miles Michaelis maybe being the keys to what they do down the stretch. Like, we are expecting Flaherty to continue. We're impressed with Dakota Hudson. Adam Wainwright's been great at home, blah, 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 right? But we talked about these two guys, and the reality of it is Carlos Martinez, 3 days in a row, okay, which you don't see too much anymore, effortlessly comes out and does his job for the Cardinals. And those were big wins in a small period of time.
Yeah, I don't know what – I mean, you got to five games in the 50 hours or whatever.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's a ridiculous amount for him to come out. And I know you had a big thing going on with it in fantasy baseball.
You knew I had to bring it up.
Which is why you had to bring that up.
That's right.
Benji, this is a
this
story.
Is how I beat him.
This is a story for a different day. Martinez gets three strikeouts and a win. He ties win categories. He gets me in strikeouts, and he wins $33,000 pot.
Oh, whatever.
Okay, you got a chance.
$33,000?
He's got a chance to move on.
This is the most crazy fantasy baseball. This is, I'm telling you, we've talked about this. You actually own a team that has minor leagues. You pay salaries. You have a salary cap. I mean, it's crazy. Everybody's salary cap's different. It's crazy.
Hey, $33,000.
Not to the winner. That's the pot.
Yeah,
but
that's
the winner of the playoffs gets like $12,000.
Yeah.
$12,000? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, the winner of the regular season got $8,000, right?
Hey, but when you spend $5,000 on your team, you should win.
Well, I spent $4,000 on my team.
I spent $816.
Yep. and you're out.
Uh-oh. And I'm out.
He's a small market team. He doesn't have the salary cap I got.
Mid-market now.
Yeah. Well, but on a serious note.
But you had to bring that
right.
up.
Right. I did have to bring it up because it's been unbelievable.
He's been unbelievable. He's been lights out. He comes in. He does a job. And, yes, getting away from the making the heart stop. The offspring.
He looks different. Did he not look different to you out on the mound? He looked comfortable.
You're exactly right. There's a demeanor that he has right now that you want to see in a closer, that guy that just comes out and just, he's a shutdown guy. And he's not a shutdown guy because he's going to throw it by you. He has that ability.
He does have that.
But he has the other pitches that he's throwing for strikes now. And credit for Yachty for making great calls and understanding what these hitters are trying to do. But he's making them look silly, and it's good to see.
Well, we've seen Yachty get real animated with Carlos, real animated. Well, and now this weekend he wasn't. Go ahead, Benji, because I know that we've talked about this before, and you know a little bit more than the average bear here. So Yachty's been animated with him before, but we didn't see it this weekend.
No, Yachty is really good about when to do it. It's not necessarily every time you're going to yell at a guy or be an animator or something. It's just when you need it. So Carlos is doing a great job. Listen, guys, he wants to be a starter. And this is what happened with Carlos right now that you're seeing. He is buying in. He's buying in. He wants to be the closer. He wants to close the game because he knows he's the closer. You know what I'm saying? He's not thinking about, oh, I want to be a starter. I want to pitch 5 innings. I want to pitch 6 innings. He's not thinking that one bit. This is the best way to have Carlos Martinez involved in every game. And he has a rubber arm for a reliever, I'll tell you that, because he's thrown 4 games in a row at times, and he's done well. And to tell you something more about Carlos, he throws 99, he throws 98, he throws 97 miles an hour, okay? And, or if you didn't know, it sinks. It runs to the hands of the right-hander, and it sinks down to the right-hander. I mean, this is devastating. He has one of the greatest change-up in the league. He has a good slider, which sometimes gets, overthrown, a lot. And then he has that curveball, too. People don't know. And you guys play the game. When somebody threw a curveball and a slider, it messes you up. And this is without counting the changeup and the 98-mile-an-hour sinker that he has. Why do you think he always end up walking a lot of guys or at times and getting in trouble? Because he can't control it. But right now, the big difference on many of these guys here in the big league, in the bullpen, they're buying in. They're buying in. Waka is buying in on 4 or 5 innings. They usually get mad for 4 or 5 innings. They want to stay longer. You know what I'm saying? When they take him out, they're like, okay, it's a bullpen time now. They're buying in, man. They're winning. And they seem that they need everybody to win. They're noticing it. So the whole guy, and this is Carlos, because Carlos is a starter. And it's so hard to make him a closer when Jordan Hicks went down. He took the role. He said, you know what? I'm the closer. And right now what I see from him, he's buying in, man. He wants it. Before, he was thinking, oh, man, I'm doing a closer job. Now, man, I want to be a starter. And that's what he's probably going to try to do next year in spring training. But right now, he's a closer. And he's doing a heck of a job, man. This is not real easy. Well, let me tell you this, guys. I wanted to say this for people out there. Our pitching staff, it's amazing right now, right? Our pitching staff is doing amazing. And amazing meaning the bullpen is one of the top bullpens in the league. Like one of the top bullpens in the league. You know, that's how we hear it. This is crazy, man, what we're saying. Kent Lewis is in starting, like pitching. Kent Lewis is 5th, 5th, all right? Dodgers, Tampa Bay, Cleveland, Houston, and St. Louis, bro. St. Louis, number 5. That tells you everything we need to know about this team. This team are buying in, man. This team are clicking at the right moment. The only thing that, I love Shields. I love Shields, but Matt Carpenter is having a hard time. Leave him away from the lineup for a little bit. Let Tommy Edman get those at-bats. Carpenter off the bench. And it's good. So that's the only thing that worries me that, you know, that could happen.
Well, that's the thing, Bimo, is that, you know, he needs a little time, but he has that ability to catch fire. And God help the rest of the National League if Carpenter catches fire. That's what I'm saying. He's got to have, you know, he's going to have his at-bats when he gets his chance. You got to play the hot hand. But if he catches fire like he has that ability to do, given our defense, given our pitching right now, what the rest of the players are doing, I'd love to see him peak sometime here in the middle of September and carry that in October.
And that if that was the case, of course we want him in the lineup because he's caught fire at some point because he's shown that he's catching fire. Of course we want him in the lineup. I'm talking about right now. Like, he's struggling like big time, man. I don't know if you've seen the games where he's he looks overmatched.
Clueless.
He looks overmatched. He doesn't look like he's fighting on a bat. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He doesn't look like he's fighting it. He looks like he's just, he's like not even having a chance.
Yeah.
That's all I was saying.
He's a searcher right now. You can tell. He's a searcher. He's searching for something. I mean, you know, let's face it. I'm happy for the guy that he got a game-winning hit, right? But let's face it.
Let me tell you this real quick, Jimbo. Most of those pitches that he hit for the base hit, 99% are ground ball to first or ground ball to second. Don't forget that.
Yes.
He made it happen. He got the game-winning hit, and it was awesome because he could touch that ball on the ground and got it a base hit, right?
Yep.
But the same swing on that ball, 99% of the time for him, it's an out. So, of course, we're happy because he got that hit. And I'm happy for him for getting the hit. But most of the time, 99% probably, it's an out.
So, yeah, he took the same swing the next day, and it was awful.
Right.
He looked bad.
And he was a weak ground ball at first.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, man, guys, seriously, if he was catching fire, but put him in. I'm down. But don't say that if he does it. Because if you say if, we don't have time, do we? Like 3 weeks, I think it's over. We can't wait for Matt Carpenter to catch fire right now, I think. We gotta put the guys that are on and Tommy Edman is having a great season. 281? Don't you take a 281 over a 220 or a 218 guy? I mean, come on. So that was my only fear is that Mike Keel goes with the veterans, right? Like with the guys, even if they're not doing so well.
Well, he's not right now, so good for him. I mean, really. I mean, like I said, I'm with you. I hope it maintains. See, here's the thing, and I hope it doesn't happen. And if it doesn't happen, I like our chances. Like all things, you wonder what happens if Tommy Edman goes through a little rough stretch. You know what I mean? That's kind of that would be Carpenter's way back in the lineup is if Tommy Edman goes through a rough stretch.
No, no, no.
But I hope not.
No, no, no. You have to see the at-bat. If Tommy Edman is having 4 at-bats, no hits, 3 of those at-bats, he battled his butt off, da-da-da, foul ball, ended up in the out, okay. If Carpenter goes in and he doesn't give you an at-bat like that, he gives you an easy out, who would you put?
Oh, I listen, I've made my mind up already. I'm going to the well with Edman. He does so many other things, too, for you. I mean, like the base running, let's face it. Well, I mean, it's big.
And nobody even talked about what happened the other day when DeJong threw the ball to third. I mean, and he wasn't even ready. Carpenter doesn't look ready to me. You see how we said the pitching is buying in, remember? That Carlos is buying in.
Yep.
I don't see Carpenter buying in. Carpenter, for me, is not buying in. Carpenter is struggling right now, and he's trying hard as heck to get out of a struggle. But he doesn't seem to be buying in. Like, he's not in the game. You can see it. You can see it the way he runs the bases, missing first base the other day. You can see it when he catches a ball and throws the first, barely gets it there. I mean, he gets it out. That's fine. But, I mean, he doesn't move side to side very well. Then he goes and gets that play with DeJong, throwing the ball from short, a guy running on that ball on the side, and he couldn't even tag the guy. That tells us, as fans, I don't think he's buying in, man. I don't see that he's buying into this year. I think he's trying hard to get back to where he was, and he's working his butt off, trying it. But overall in the game, I don't see he's buying it, man.
And that's also the effect, BMO, of a guy that is a one-dimensional player like that, that needs his hitting to have the confidence. You know as well as I do,
exactly.
If Yachty's not hitting, Yachty's out there saying, well, I'm going to do the best game call I can do, you know, be the best catcher, throw out guys. I'm going to try to run the bases.
He wants to steal hits away.
Right. And if he's not hitting, that's one thing. So those are the things that, as ball players, if you're not buying in, if you're being quote-unquote selfish or whatever it might be, and you're only concerned about your hitting, that is an issue. You know, the easiest thing to do, and you know that, BMO, from playing so much ball, is when a guy's struggling and there's a guy on first base says, hey, we're going to hit and run. We're going to force him to swing. We're going to force him to swing in a slot that we want him to swing into, or we want to bunt him, or we want to get into a position where he has to try to hit that sacrifice fly in order to get his mind off of it's either success or failure based off of this hit. You know,
Steve, you more than anybody knows that baseball is catching the ball.
Yep.
It's running the bases and hitting. Those are the three aspects of the game, right? Those are three that came from 100 years. And he has the hitting, right? That's what they say.
Right.
Not for me, but he has the hitting. That's what they say. He's known for his hitting. He's going to catch fire at some point. So when you don't have that hitting and you are not a very good defender and you are not a very good runner, it just shows even more. It shows even more. But if you have the right attitude on the field, and when you go play defense, you start yelling at the guys, come on, let's go, let's keep it up or something. Or when you run the bases, you pump everybody up. You know what I'm saying? It's different. But when you struggle in hitting, and then you go back in the defense, you don't make any difference. Or running the bases, you don't make anything happen, making a difference. That is rough, man. That's tough. And that's why I say he might not be buying in. He might be trying hard to find his way to hitting, which that's what he does. But I don't know, man. I don't see him. I mean, with the mistakes that we've seen, I'm not talking about my opinion. You know, like, I'm not saying this because I want to say it. I'm saying that the way we've seen him play the game, the full game, not the hitting only, the full aspect of baseball. It's what I see that he's not buying in, man.
Right. And he can make a difference with a glove, with running the bases, with with so many different ways you can impact a game, even with the chatter on the infield, even with being involved in the game and knowing, hey, there's a guy on second, ball in the hole, I better get back here and make sure I have that play. We talked about that the other night, BMO, is, you know, who's talking on the field the entire time. You know, hey, if there's a ball, you know, did DeJong look over? Hey, ball in the hole, you know I'm coming. You know, if this guy's moving, you got to be prepared for that.
Heck yeah. And why do you think that nothing was probably said? Just give me a reason why DeJong probably didn't say it to him. That you think?
I'll
give you mine.
Okay, you go ahead because I'm clueless on it.
Okay, the reason that he doesn't give it to Carp is because they don't talk and because Carp is always with this attitude, and DeJong doesn't want to even deal with that, right?
All
think
right.
about it. If you're DeJong, I'm sure you want to say something to Carp. The way he's acting, the way he's playing the game and stuff, with his attitude, you don't want to even say a word to that guy, and that's not right. That's not the right thing. You know, you don't see that with Arenado. Arenado struck out with a basic load against us, went out there, and he's guiding the infield. He's talking. He's guiding. And it's unfair to compare Arenado to Carpenter at third. I'm just talking about attitude, not fielding. I'm talking about how you can change the game when you struck out with a basic loaded in a key situation, and then you go back to third and you're yelling at everybody, hey, move this way, hey, go do this way. If he bunts it, I got it, you come here. And if he hits it, you know what I mean?
Right.
It makes a difference. But we don't see that. We don't even see that. It's all about hitting with sharp, and it's not doing it. So the whole game, take a big dip, you know?
That's just so foreign to me because I've never been able to play a game in silence. There's always some sort of chatter. Now, I get it, and we talked about this the other night, too, that these guys have their note cards, and they do so much pregame scouting, and, you know, they don't have to talk as much as we did when we were growing up, you know, and, you know, playing baseball that way. But I just don't understand how you cannot be talking to your pitcher, to your first baseman, to your, you know, hey, the sun's up here, the wind's blowing here, you know, be prepared for the ground ball.
Even with the perfect analytics, you still do some things wrong, right?
Right.
Like if Carpenter is told to play on the line with two outs, all of a sudden two outs are in, and he's not on the line. So who has to pick him up? A shortstop, a catcher, a second baseman, maybe a first baseman yell at him, hey, man, remember, two outs, go on the line, man, what the heck? But for them to do that, you know, you have to have a great attitude. You have to have a receiver guy that has the great attitude. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I see you not talking, and if I see you all pissed off the whole game, if I see you not hanging out with the boys, not talking, maybe only worry about the hitting, whatever it is, and if I see you with attitude, it's hard for me to go to you. You're making it tough on me to go to you and say, hey, listen, move or talk, you know, like, talk to me. What's going on? It's hard. And that's what I see from him. He has that attitude that he's blocking everybody because he's not hitting. So I hope it wasn't that way. But that's what we've seen. It's not what we think. We don't think this. We see it on his game, you know, the way he plays the game. We've seen him worry about the hitting, and he forgets about that he has a job to do in defense, and he has a job to do in running bases and things like that.
Well, we know that Schiltz made that, you know, at least clear that Tommy Edman is going to get a majority of the playing time until Carp, you know, gets out of that, you know, slump. And maybe it might be next year. We don't know. We don't know when it's going to be. You know, my hope as a fan is that it's tonight. That's what I hope. Or it's tomorrow.
And or whenever he plays.
Or whenever he plays. And that gets me to, you know, kind of my little rant, you know, as we sit here and I hear people with their opinions on, you know, and this is, you know, for the last couple of weeks. And, man, I just wish the Cardinals weren't doing this good. Now they're never, you know, front office is never going to make a decision. They're never going to change.
Are we
they're
on
never,
to that?
But, you know, it's just one of the things that burns me that fans.
I know, but we're still doing good.
Yeah. But enjoy the game. Enjoy the game. Enjoy the 162 games of them.
Enjoy that we're doing good, even if they don't end up doing a crap. But the team that we have right now is doing good. We are up three games on the freaking standings. What else do you want? And there's only 3 weeks left or so. Enjoy these. And if they don't end up doing a thing for this team have shown that it could do it right now. Well, we got to understand that was one of the reasons why they didn't do anything, because they thought they could do this. So, all right, so let's just enjoy the game.
And that's my point. You know, everybody has their opinions and you know, they go ahead and make their, you know, everything known that, oh, my gosh, the Cardinals are going to be six games back come September 1st, or they're going to be, you know, completely useless by September, or what, you know, all this crap that I hear, read, people call on, you know, good friends of ours, Jim, that want to badmouth the front office for not making moves or, you know.
Listen, I want them to make a move, but it's over.
It is over.
Okay.
And now, when is somebody going to say, you know what, hey, maybe those guys are a little bit smarter than me.
I've said that all along. Like, I get upset, but I know they're smarter than I am because I can't comprehend having a bunch of money and not wanting to spend it. Because to me, you spend money, you make more money, especially in this town. Now, people want to argue that they're, like me, that they're making so much money that it doesn't matter. And that I believe that to be the case. But, man, I wouldn't, like, a World Series every few years, or at least an appearance, it's got to be good for the bottom line.
Yeah, but we sat there and we talked about with Mozeliak that one day that, hey, they build their club for 91 wins on paper. And that's what they go into the offseason with. And if they can find a deal at the trade deadline that's going to help them, they're going to make that move if they can make it. But, man, they're on pace. You know, they're where they should be.
Yeah, they're on pace of what they said. And listen, when you go out there and don't do anything on the straight deadline, doesn't mean they weren't on the phone every day. They were trying to do something. It's just that the things that they try to do, they involve the two guys they don't wanna get rid of. And that's just bottom line, man. They don't wanna get rid of Carson, they don't wanna get rid of the other dude, the Gorman. So guess what? They don't make a move. I thought they needed one more pitcher, and I still do think they need one more number one and number two, but they didn't do it. So now it's going to be up to Mr. Waka and Mr. Wainwright, those two at the end of the rotation, to pick their game up. And we haven't even talked about Michael. So there's three guys that, I mean, Wainwright did great. Waka did awesome the other day, only two runs in seven innings. And then Michaelas, but we need those guys, and they probably saw something we didn't because they're trusting these groups to do what they're doing right now. They're trusting these guys to do what exactly they're doing right now, and they did. They went all around. They went and said, you know what, these are our guys, and we're going to do or die with these guys.
Right.
And I tell you what, they like about 3.5 million fans. That's what they like. They would like to have them on the stadium, but as long as they sell the tickets, they're on top, man. So we just got to wait, man, like Steve said, you know, and we just got to wait, be happy with our team because we're three up in late September. Well, not late, but early September, we're three games up in first place in the division, and we got guys hot at the right moment. We got to be happy with our club. The club is pitching well. The club is running the bases well, except a few guys. And they're hitting good enough to win some games. And, I mean, not good enough. They're doing good. And you know what, guys? We haven't even mentioned this. Jobel Jimenez. Remember that name? Jobel Jimenez.
Okay.
He was the guy who substituted Buda as the assistant hitting coach. Remember that when Buraska got fired?
Yeah.
They brought Jobel Jimenez. Jobel Jimenez has been a coach in the minor league for them for years. He's dealt with all of these guys. All of them. Almost all of them. Great guy. I talked to him. He has a great mindset. Him and Albert are working together. Remember that wasn't happening earlier with Buda, old school, and Albert's analytics. So, now they're putting it all together, and that could be the research resurgence on these guys hitting, okay?
Right.
That could be those two guys working at the same pace and hitters listening to these guys.
Well, you know, out of all that you said, Benji, the one thing that I'm going to key on is September, because you get a lot of help in September. Now, every other ball club does too.
Sure.
But here's the deal. Now, all of a sudden, you got, instead of needing your starters to go 5-6 innings, now you only need them to go 4, possibly. You got more help. And Mozeliak also said that he's going to be up and around. He usually likes about 32 players, September call-ups. He's going to be up pushing 35, maybe 36 guys that can help. So
with you 100%.
I really like the fact that you've got a three-game lead and September call-ups, and you're not calling up guys that don't have major league experience. Look at the guys that they're calling up. guys that have been impactful at parts during this season or maybe even last season, I think it's going to really help them out. They're not looking for, hey, let's see what Nolan Gorman can give us. Let's see what Dylan Carson can give us, right?
Nope, they're saying, that's not the time for that.
Hey, we're in a position now, and we believe the guys that are coming up, they can help us, and they can bridge that gap to October, and that's where we want to be.
Yes, well, sir.
I can tell you that, for me, lots of things going on right now. I know a lot of people wanted Dylan Carlson brought up here.
No. We got time for that.
Yeah, I agree. You know, the Lane Thomas thing really stunk. Because I liked him as a power bat, right-handed bat off the bench that could do other things for you. But
hey, that could be Aros Arena. That could be.
It could be. Yeah.
It could be Sosa coming off the bench. It could be Munoz, which I love Munoz.
Yeah. I like the way he takes at bats. I like the way Munoz battles. I think he's a big part of this thing. You got Jose Martinez, too. Don't forget.
Martinez. We have Ravelo, who crushes ball. It's just that, obviously, he had nothing to show here when he doesn't play.
Sure.
With Goldsmith at first, but. He can hit. So we got guys. The only thing is lefties off the bench, which Carpenter's struggling. Obviously, it's a little hole in there. We got O'Neill too from the bench. I mean, he could put a good up bat out there. But the left-hander guy is missing. Unless Carpenter catch fire, you know, or Wieters catch fire here to the end, you know. But we don't have a lefty off the bench at all in this team that could fear, you know, put fear in the other team.
Yeah, I think, you know, of all these guys, you know, a couple that I think that we weren't sure what they were going to be, like the one guy that's kind of a fringe guy that I think makes an impact for us is Helsley. That's the guy for me out of the bullpen. I really like him. I think he can do multiple things for you. I think if you need him to pitch, you know, because let's face it, you're getting ready to get into that playoff scenario where if a guy doesn't have it one day, you can't just live with him. And if you had to pull a guy after three or four innings, and let's face it, it could be Waino or somebody, right? And you had to go with Helsley for three innings. I mean, I think you could do a lot worse than that.
No, and I'm with you. The only thing is that these games right now, my relievers are Brevia, my relievers are Gant. My relievers are Gallegos, number one, of course, Martinez, and we can go down the list right after that. But those are my guys.
Oh, yeah, those are the main guys. Yeah.
Yeah, but that happened in the fourth game of that doubleheader thing in that last game. When we were down one, he brought up Mike Myers to pitch. And I get what he's doing. He's trying to give everybody else a rest. But there were some guys there that haven't pitched in a day. So they were available, right?
Yeah.
There was Webb there. That's another guy. That's one of my guys. Webb was there. It was Brevia warming up twice. It was Gallegos warming up. And he didn't pitch. We see what I'm saying? Down one, down two, down up two, up one. Those are my guys. Now, if I'm down four, if I'm up four, I give a Mike Myers a chance. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that's what we want to get into.
You have Andrew Miller for one run games and two run games. Those are my guys. So the last game with the Reds, it was kind of weird to see Mike Myers coming in with up one. They were up one, down one, of course. It was weird. I'm not saying that Mike Myers cannot pitch. I'm saying that he is a good pitcher, but he haven't been with us all year, right? So that's exactly what I'm trying to say. Four runs, three runs, down or up, I get it. Mike Myers is a perfect fit right there. But you have Miller, you have Gant, you have Gallegos, you have guys that Webb, you have guys that can keep it up to one run game, especially when you're facing Castillo that day. So that was what I saw. And it's only one game. I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm not trying to criticize Mike Steele for doing it. It was just weird to see that, right? I hope that doesn't happen more in September when you have your main guy ready to go on when you're up one or down one. That's all I'm saying, right?
And that's where I wanted to go with this, because that's the pitching side of it. Now let's get back to the offense and the defense side of things. How do you handle September from your perspective, BMO, with these guys and playing time? Because you obviously can't have a guy on the bench for 2 weeks and then have him come in and expect him to do any good. You know, you can't have the Tyler O'Neill sit there for 2 weeks, Ravello sit there for a couple weeks and do nothing. Is it a 1-2 run ball game? Is that where your sweet spot is, that you're sticking with your Yachty's and your DeYoung's and Colton's? You know, Goldschmidt's played a ton of games this year. When do you start looking at getting guys a little bit of rest for that stretch run of the last, you know, maybe week when we got the Cubs? What do we got the Cubs like 6 times in the last week, something goofy like that? That everything might be on the line.
10 games, I think we have against them. But the thing is, you have to pick up your spot, right? You have to pick up the spot. You have to start thinking when the game is up 5 and you're in the seventh inning, get him out. Get him out. Trust your bullpen. Trust that everything's going to go right. And then the game's over, and then you give them 3 innings to rest. And then like that, because there's no way in the world I'm going to sit Goldschmidt for a day off when I only have like 3 weeks to go. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So you have to pick your spot. It's the same with Flaherty. It's the same with the pitching. If you see that they already have 7 innings, even if they have 80 pitches, trust your bullpen. You're up 4. You're up 5. Go out there to the bullpen. Save 2 innings. Save 1 more inning of Flaherty for later. Things like that. That's how you do things. That's how you get some rest. But giving the guys days off, unless it's 4 games in 2 days like it happened before, and then the last game you give up, you know, you just say, hey, you guys are going to get rest. That's it. And I understand you need to give those guys a day off after maybe when you win 2 out of 3 from a team, give somebody else a shot. But the way things are going right now, Steve-O, there's no time for a day off, man. Do you see any time? Do you see any hole that tells you that? I mean, there's no time for days off right now. I don't think so. But well, I hope they do it smart.
Right, you're going to have to get through Pittsburgh and the Giants this week, okay? Then you go to the bandbox that is, you know, the Colorado Rockies out there in Coors Field where balls could be flying out. And I'm sure none of our guys that are hot want to sit those games out, right?
But you know what's interesting? I'm going to jump in here.
16 games
the thing.
In a row.
But hang on, here's the thing. And this is, we could do a whole show on this, though. And I'm not dogging on you, Steve. I mean, it's just it's a feeling that I've never understood, fans crying for guys to rest. I mean, I get it, kind of.
The other way around.
You know, I kind of get it, but I'm going to tell you that you're only right when it works. Okay? Like everybody and her brother, when Yachty come back from this injury, wanted Weeders to play 2 days a week, right? What's Yachty done since he's come back and played every day?
On Fuego.
Now, if he would have come back, now here's the thing that kills me about it, right? If Yachty would have come back and not done so well, what would everybody have said? He needs rest.
Yeah.
You need rest until you don't. You know what I mean? It's like, I understand what you're saying because it's logical, right? That guys push. But this is what they do. This is what you train for in the offseason. Have you seen
Absolutely.
Paul Goldschmidt? Have you seen Yachty? Have you seen these guys? This is what they do. Now, it's different if you're hurt. And they know more than we do, right? Like Tony La Russa used to always say, let's remember, when you question me, I know more than you do.
Right.
Okay?
But here's the deal. Now, this isn't a June game, a July. This isn't a July or a June or a May 16-game run. There is a different.
Yeah, we're trying to win a division.
This is a different stressor, okay? Right now, when you go to those 16 games in a row, and I've been there, bro. I've played a bunch of games in a row, and your body and your mind need a rest. And I don't care if these guys train for it. I've seen boxers train and train and train and train. That's all they do. How many boxers have you seen get to the 10th and 11th round and they're out of gas? No matter what. It's the same thing.
You can't. There's nothing you can do to not be out of gas, though, in that situation. These guys do what they do and then they alter. Benji, you're 3 games up. You're in the home stretch and your manager comes to you and tells you you're sitting. What do you tell him?
Oh my gosh! No, I gotta go. But I get it. You know, that's okay. I mean, I get that.
No, and I understand it. I'm not like saying people are stupid for thinking that, but I agree with you. Let them play.
Yeah, you talk to the guys, and I tell you what, they will not want to sit. They're not gonna see. Yadi, when I talked to him early on in spring training, I said, "Wow, bro, you really train hard, man." And he goes, "Bro, I train for 180 games." And I'm like, wow, I never saw it that way. Because I always saw the spring training games were like 2 innings, 3 innings, you get out. And then you play the next game, you don't play. Then the next game, you play 2, 3, 4, 5 innings, then you get out. So they're not full games. So when he said that, he opened up my mind like, holy crap, man. Like, he really does train for 180. And it's not, no.
And a lot of it's going to dictate on score of the game. A lot of it's going to dictate on what's going on with, you know, where the standings are. A lot of scoreboard watching, okay? You start getting 4 and 5 games up.
I lost Benji there, so we're calling him back.
Hey, bro.
Steve hung up on you.
That was a boring situation there, huh?
No, Steve got mad. Because you disagreed with him, grabbed the phone, and hung up on you. No, I'm just kidding. I hit the button on accident. Sorry.
I said, I want you to talk to my friend Tone.
Tone.
Dial Tone.
No, don't worry. Oh, you had a call from Jerry Jones?
Yeah. Oh, boy.
No, Jerry Jones called me and said that he wants me available for the Zeke signing here at 3:05 Central Standard. So, and they're going to try to get him at least a quarter and a half of play during that first week. So, I'm all
Whatever.
Excited about that.
Well, listen, I think in the end, we can all agree on one thing. Okay. We want what's best
for
the players. And we find ourselves in a place that a couple of months ago, I don't know that we could have imagined. Okay. Up 3 games. Somebody had said this, and I always enjoy this conversation too. Always thinking about everybody else and what they're doing. We've put ourselves now in a situation where we can take care of our own business. Screw everybody else. Let's just go out and do what we're doing. And I like the way we're doing it now. I like the look of the team. We didn't even talk about Dexter Fowler today. Listen.
We didn't talk about putting pressure on the defense and runners moving.
Admittedly, it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter if I like a guy or not. Dexter Fowler has done a great job for the St. Louis Cardinals. Recently, no doubt about it. Okay, he's had some great stretches this year. No doubt about it. He's a big part of this and what's happening. So good for Dexter Fowler. Good for Harrison Bader since he's come up. I love the energy. Listen, you can talk about skill. He does bring energy to this team. Tommy Edman brings energy to this team. It brings an element to the team that we have not been used to in recent years. I think one of the greatest conversations I've heard, and I know a lot of people want to bag on Tim McCarver and act like he doesn't know what he's talking about, but this guy knows his shit. Okay?
I actually like McCarver.
Yeah, I do too. And I heard him have a conversation one day with somebody about how over the last few years the Cardinals became unathletic. And now with this roster construction, they have made themselves more athletic, and you have to be athletic to win. And I think it's a great, great situation for the St. Louis Cardinals right now.
I'm with you in athletic. You know, you have to be athletic to win. I'm with you 100%, Jimbo and Steve-O. But you also have to have the guys to do it, right?
Yeah.
You have to have guys to do it. Because if you have guys and they're struggling, what have we seen the last couple of years? When guys have struggled, we don't go anywhere. See what I'm saying?
No, you're 100% right. And that's why I'm giving props to the players. The Cardinals had these athletic guys. They just didn't perform. Let's face it. You can make whatever excuse you want for guys like Colton Wong, guys like Harrison Bader. They're the ones that didn't produce. And when they don't produce, you can't play them. Okay? So when they go out and do their job, that enables the manager to pencil them in the lineup every day. And when you can pencil in athletic guys every day, they can help you win ball games in various ways. And we're seeing it right now. Tommy Edmonds' base running is really good. Okay, he has done a fabulous job of adding an element to our game that we haven't had, and it's been very well received in my camp. I can promise you that.
I mean, anybody that we've been having trouble with like last couple of years, like we had trouble with talking about, Fowler. We had trouble talking about Carpenter last year for what, 3 months? We were talking about how he struggled until he went out and raped and did all these things. So when you don't do it, it looks really bad. I mean, guys, it's just how it is. When you don't do your job, when you don't hit, when you don't pitch, it just don't look good. But when you're doing it, you know, obviously that's what we want. That's what we want this team. And this team right now is clicking. I don't care against who you play because they're all big leaguers. You all saw what happened when Marlins came over and took 2 out of 3 of us or something like that. And what? We're going to, you know, like say, oh, the Marlins, we should have won it. No. Those are major league teams, and they have pitchers too. So we just got to take it easy right now with this team because they're playing really, really good ball and exciting ball right now. So enjoy it, man. Go out there to the field. Enjoy a game, you know?
Well, I'm excited. That I know. I don't know about Steve-O, because, you know, Steve-O's hard to make happy sometimes.
Well, I just sit here, and I'm just going to watch my games, and I'm going to enjoy it. And, hey, it is what it is. I can't control it unless I sit in a certain spot on the couch and cross my legs and have something to drink that's very special.
Oh, geez, Louise, here we go.
And grill.
Like Black
hey,
Label, huh?
Hey.
Like Black Label, what
and,
did you say?
And yeah, that little Black Label, and grill some good steaks. Did we control 2 Yachty home runs the other night, BMO?
I heard about it.
Oh, heck yeah, man. Heck yeah. That was awesome.
Jeez Louise.
not a take Jimbo's money in a little fantasy football because he took mine in fantasy baseball.
I'm hoping to take a bunch of money is what I'm hoping to take. I got to bring this thing home.
What time is the draft?
10:30 tonight.
10:30 tonight.
10:30, so that's 8:30 our time. All right.
Well, that's about what time Yachty will get out of the clubhouse, isn't it?
I think so. I got to ask him.
Yeah. Man, I can't wait to take Yachty's money, your money, Steve's money.
Dude,
I
mean, you don't know what you're in for. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen to Jimbo. Hey, here's what's going to happen to Jimbo. Yachty's going to send him some trade offer.
Oh, my God.
And
don't
Jimbo's going to go.
Let him take it by surprise.
Hey, and he's going to go, okay.
No.
And it's going to be goofy.
Listen,
you know
I don't do that.
Yes.
I don't do it here. Do I do it here?
Getting one from Cooper and getting one from Yachty are going to be 2 different things.
He's my old wife. What are you talking about?
Yachty's going to send you a trade offer, and you're going to go, I guess that's okay.
No, that's not how I operate.
Yeah.
You don't know me very well, then. For a guy that's been one of my best friends for how long, you know what I'll send him back.
Philip Rivers Yachty. For Pat Mahomes.
You know what I'll tell him? You know what I'll tell him? Hey, I'm not Steve Flowers here. Okay, you're not dealing with Steve Flowers.
I did do that, too. For a bottle of Blue
Look
Label.
Look at what Yachty did. They had their team draft, right? So he filled up his team. And then he started picking guys that other people might need. He told me, he goes, I got to pick, I have Tom Brady in my bench. I have so-and-so in my bench. And you know what, Bebo? They're going to come and ask me for it. You know, he's all laughing. And I'm like, oh, dude, that's what he's going to do in this draft. I bet, man.
Well, last year I think he took 4 defenses, so hopefully he'll do
Hosey,
that again.
My brother, Hosey. He wasn't having a good year. He started trading everybody to Yachty. And then we were like, really? I mean, trade it to people that don't have, you know, like it's in the middle of things, but don't trade it just to Yachty. And they were all getting mad. I mean, you're in for some treat right here, buddy.
We'll see. This isn't Steve-O's camp here. I'm not looking to trade a player for an autograph here, for Christ's sakes, like Steve-O.
Hey, believe me, that's going to be offered.
Yeah. No.
And he's going to tempt you with a bottle of Blue Label. I was going to have the other Blue Label I have at my house is one that Jimbo got me for Christmas a couple years ago. So I was going to have my Yachty Blue Label and that one. The Black Label's almost gone. We did a pretty good job on that the other night, bro.
Yeah, I know. And it's going to come. I'm telling you. There's going to be. So what I wanted to tell you, they had the draft. And they went, and I'm with Yachty and Wainwright, and tells him a trade, right? Sends him a trade. And he goes, and Yadi goes, I don't know, bro. I don't know. But if you put a bottle of something, I'll probably think about it even harder, man. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, here we go. That's the team football team.
Well, I have never been on a fantasy league where you can offer more than just players. So I am excited about being in that.
He got Patrick Mahomes in the third round. How the heck does that guy go over two rounds?
These baseball guys, see, they need more days off so they can study their fantasy football.
Well, good. I hope they're all too busy for tonight then. Well, listen, BMO, I'm going to have to get out of here. We got to get out of the studio. I got to go do my planning for our fantasy draft tonight. If you talk to Yadi, you let him know I'm coming for him. And I'm going to be taking everybody's money. Vandalay Industries will be taking money. Happy to be talking to all you folks out there about Cardinal baseball. We're excited. It's time. I think we're ready to go. I'm ready for this playoff push. Steve-O and I've said it 100 times over. Some of our best memories are October baseball in St. Louis. I think that's right around the corner for us. So let's get this thing going. I'm excited. I know you guys as fans are as well. One last time, thank our partners in crime. Of course, the wonderful Randy Green with InnovativeCompanies.com. Residential, commercial, industrial. Randy Green's got you covered. Always, always, always coming to you from the patio studios. Pre-game, post-game, doesn't matter. St. Louis's original party place for St. Louis Cardinal fans everywhere is patios. Dr. Kristen Jacobs, check her out, drkristenjacobs.com. She wants to remind you every day is Skin Cancer Awareness Day. But if you need something done for yourself to make yourself, you know, you're just looking to do something, you need something, or you just want to feel better about something, check her out. DrKristenJacobs.com. Gators Baseball Academy, their four-pillar system, second to none. Happy to be associated with those guys, located in Missouri and now in Illinois. Learn more about them at GatorsBaseballAcademy.com and their wonderful new endeavor to do stuff in the community. Iron Impact, led by their own Jake Warrell. Congratulations to Jake, as he's really got that thing going in the right direction. And, of course, if you want the best barbecue in St. Louis, don't hesitate to head over to Watson Road and see our friend Mike at Adam's Smokehouse, home of the best ribs, best pork, best brisket, best everything, in our opinion. And, of course, the wonderful sides and their specials. I saw some burn-ins roll out of there the other day that just made the mouth water, Steve. I know you like to get that going. I know you like to get that going. But located on Watson Road and, of course, open till 7 Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays. Don't forget your box lunch orders. And, of course, their catering is second to none. St. Louis, here's your cue. Check us out, twobirdsonabat.com. Subscribe to the show. Check out our Two Birds bloggers at Birds on a Bat Show on Twitter. And, of course, Two Birds on a Bat Show on Instagram. Find us on Facebook, Two Birds on a Bat. Like our page. Click invite your friends. And, of course, like, comment, and share the pinned post, which is the show. Special thanks to lineupmedia.fm, home of your radio, the streaming platform for your mobile device. And all of our great friends at m4byyadi.com for bringing us the one and only Benji Moran. For all of us here at Two Birds on a Bat, let's go Birds!
Go Birds!
Let's go Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.